Yevshachayim, we're learning Shar Beis, second gate, Perik Beis, the second chapter, chapter 2. So we left off in the last class with a question that says in the Shema, in the second paragraph of Shema, Ravadatem says that you should serve Hashem, you should daven to Hashem, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshachem, with all your heart, and all yourself, all your soul. So we understand to daven to Hashem with all your heart. We understand that what that means. But how do we daven to Hashem with all our soul? How do we give up our lives for our davening? Which is what is all our soul means. So to explain that, he wants to first explain to us what is the concept of Baruch. We know that we start every blessing, and we have it very, very often in our davening, the word Baruch. Blessed are you. Baruch to Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. What does it mean, Baruch? What does the word Baruch mean? When we understand what Baruch means, then that's going to help us to answer our original question. So what he says is as follows. Va'inyan ki. The idea is, ki milas Baruch. The word Baruch, ein loshen tehila v'shevach. It's not a language. It's not an expression of praise or of glorifying Hashem, of praising Hashem. That's not what Baruch means, that Hashem is exalted, or He's very great, or He's very praiseworthy. That's not what Baruch means. Like most people imagine. Most people think that to say Hashem is Baruch means He's very, very exalted, He's very praised. But that's not the understanding. And he brings a proof. There's a famous Gemara about when Rabbi Shmuel entered the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. He went into the Holy of Holies. And Hashem said to him, Yishmael b'ni b'acheini, Yishmael my son, bless me. Hashem, he saw the divine presence in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, and the divine presence said to him, Yishmael my son, bless me. Lo yom Hashem shum shevach b'birkosu. So he blessed him, and there was no praises. What did he say? He said, my son, bless me. And he answered, may it be Hashem's will, that his attribute of mercy should overcome his anger. His attribute of mercy should he should deal with the Jewish people with mercy. He should treat the Jewish people with mercy, and he should forgive them for their sins. So that was called blessing Hashem. He didn't praise Hashem. He made a request, and that was called blessing Hashem. El tefilo b'koshes rachamim. It was a prayer. He said a prayer, and he asked for mercy, and that was considered blessing Hashem. And there was no praise in that. So that's one proof that blessing doesn't mean praising Hashem. We say, blessed are you Hashem, we're not praising Hashem. V'chein Bava Matziah, another Gemara Bava Matziah, it says, U'verochecho, it says that Hashem will bless you. U'verochecho. So the Gemara says that Yotzehik d'she'en tzoich brocha, which right, to exclude that which is sanctified that does not need a brocha, does not need a blessing. What's going on? So the Gemara speaks about the case of when you lent money to somebody, to a poor man, and he couldn't pay you. So you took a surety, you took a deposit for security, you took a security for him, you took his blanket. That's what he had never, he had a blanket. So you took his blanket. So the problem is that when it comes nighttime, this poor man comes to you and he says, please, can I borrow my blanket for tonight? I'll give it back to you tomorrow morning because it's your security for the loan. So the pasuk says that you have to lend him his blanket and he will bless you. So the Gemara learns over there, that's only said if it's from an individual. Let's say he owes an individual money, so then the individual has an obligation to lend him back the item if it's something that he needs. But if the temple took his blanket as a security, let's say he pledged money to the temple, he pledged to bring a gift to the temple and he didn't give it, and they took his blanket as a security, the temple has no need to give him his blanket. The temple is not obligated to give him his blanket back. So the Gemara says, why not? Because it says, the pasuk says that when you give him his blanket, when you lend him his blanket back, he'll bless you. And the Gemara says, and that would exclude the Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't need blessing. Must be the reason the Beis HaMikdash is not obligated to lend him back his blanket is because it doesn't need blessing. Now that's what the Gemara says, right? Yotza Hekdish, that is to exclude the temple, She'ein Tzarech Brocha, which doesn't need to be blessed. So the Gemara says, Upari Chashas, The Shas asks the question, Velo, what, the temple doesn't need to be blessed? V'aksiv, it says, well, Hashem doesn't need to be blessed, the temple doesn't have to be blessed. Aksiv, the Pasuk said, Achalta v'savata v'rachtas Hashem. It says that you shall eat and be satisfied and you shall bless Hashem. So we see that from the verse that you do need to bless Hashem. Hashem does need to be blessed. So if blessing means, right, when we say that by the benching, there's an obligation of the Torah that when you eat and when you're satisfied, you must bless Hashem. So we see from the verse that that Hashem must be blessed. Hashem needs to be blessed. Now if it means praising, if blessing means praising Hashem, Hashem doesn't need our praises. Hashem is not dependent on our praises. So this is another proof that blessing Hashem does not mean praising Hashem. Right? To give Hashem a brocha does not mean to praise Hashem. So what does it mean? So let's go on. Ala emes, the truth is, ki boruch perusha loshen tosefes v'ribui. The language of blessed is to be understood as a language of increment and growth. To bless Hashem is to pray that Hashem should be increased, that Hashem should be more. Ki'inyan kach no es bechosi. Like the verse that says, take my brocha. Who said those words? It was Yaakov. When Yaakov met Esav after 22 years, so Esav came to kill Yaakov with his soldiers, and Yaakov was able to appease him with this huge gift. He gave him this huge gift of camels and sheep and goats, etc. And Esav tried to refuse the gift, and Yaakov said, take my gift. But the words he used for take my gift was kach es birkosi. Take this excess that I'm giving you. So we see that brocha, birkosi is loshen brocha. Take my brocha. What do you mean my brocha? My gift. Now that's going to enrich you. Take that which is enriching you, that which is making you more rich. Take it. Take that which is enriching you. So kachnos birkosi. So there we see that the word brocha means increment. It means growth. It means more. Another. That's one proof. Another proof is that another pasuk in Shmoy says, Beirach eslach b'cho. He shall bless your bread. He'll bless your food. Hashem will bless your food. What means he'll bless your food? He'll praise your food. He'll say, well, how delicious your food is. Oh, how delicious is your cooking. Right? What do you mean Hashem will bless your food? It means he'll increase your food. He'll give you plenty of food. He'll give a brocha in the food and you'll have plenty of food. You'll have as much food as you need. You'll have more than what you need. So we see brocha means increment. It means to have more. Uberach privitnecho. He will bless the fruits of your womb. He'll bless your children. What does it mean you'll bless your children? It means that you'll have more children. Your children will increase. They'll grow. They'll be healthy. They'll be strong. That means that there'll be more. They'll have more. And there'll be more. The goyim of Mahabe created the Mikra. We have many, many examples where we see that the word brocha means to be increased. She'if shalafar shalosh and tehillim shevach. And in all of these cases, you can't explain that brocha means a praise or some sort of glorification. Eloshim to sefes ribui. Rather, brocha means it's increased and it grows. Ubezoya oma. The Zoya says, "Become a makimus." In a number of places, the Zoya speaks about la'am shecho bekon, to draw down blessing. We speak about drawing down blessing. So, what does it mean to draw down? To draw down this increment. To draw down. That's what blessing is. La'raka bekon, to empty out. Now, to empty out the heavens of blessing. So what are we emptying out? Blessing is this growth. Lo sufe bechon, to add blessing. So if we say increment, it all makes sense, right? To sefes ribuya di bechon, right? Which is an increment, an increase of the multitude of blessing. So it all means increment. V'ayim v'reim mehemne is also a Zohar. She boruch ato havaya, when we say boruch ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, perushe kemashmo. The explanation is like it says, La'am shecho. This is what the Zohar says, to draw down a la'roka chayin min koydechay, to empty out life from the source of life. We're emptying out, there's like storerooms in the heaven of storerooms of life, and we're emptying out those storerooms of life. We're drawing down life, l'shmei the kutshabricha, onto the name of Hashem. We're drawing down from the upper heavens life onto the name of Hashem. We're drawing life onto Hashem on the holy name of Hashem. Which we're also going to explain. What does it mean? We're drawing down blessing on Hashem. We still have to understand what that means. But that's what blessing is. Blessing is this adding of strength, this adding of power. Uksiv, and also the Pasuk says, Achalta Savota, You shall eat satisfied, and you'll bless Hashem your God. So what does it mean, says the Zohar, you'll bless Hashem? Inun bekon arik vanash beinun milin. It's the blessing that a person empties out on Hashem, and he draws down on Hashem with these words. Became kos of a pri Eitz Chaim, shakadishim, so too in the Eitz Chaim, zel ashrina. This is what it says in Eitz Chaim, soid boruch, the chol mine ribuim. The secret of boruch is all types of increment. That's the secret of boruch. When you say boruch, you're asking for growth, you're asking for more, you're asking for plenty. Mekein usham sov sha'abriya, vasech berech beis sha'al amido, pek shlishi sham, sha'al shabbos, sha'al tfila, etc. He brings many, many sources where we see that brocha means increment, as we said before. Amnam. However, so now, what's the... Okay, so now we understand what brocha is. Brocha means increments. And now the next thing is the following. Inyan abrocha lo yizboch shmoy. Then what does it mean we're blessing Hashem? We're blessing Hashem. We're drawing increment on Hashem. We're drawing growth on Hashem. What does that mean? Right? Eina kavon. So first he's going to explain what it doesn't mean. And then we're going to understand what it does mean. So eina kavon. The intention is not la'atzmus adon yechid bochu kaviyoch. It's not to the essence of Hashem. Right? Chalila v'chalila. That we can draw blessing on Hashem, the essence of Hashem, the creator of all, the source of all, is chas v'shalom, we should think that we can actually increase Hashem. The essence of Hashem, which is endless, Hashem himself is endless, right? There's nothing besides him, the endlessness of Hashem, the essence of Hashem, we can't possibly increase that. Can't increase, Hashem is endless, you can't increase endlessness. And the chas v'shalom should mean such a thing. So when we're saying we're drawing blessing on Hashem, we're not speaking about Hashem himself, the essence of Hashem. Because he's way, way above any blessing. We can't possibly bless him. He's way beyond any blessing we could utter. A blessing can't affect him. He's beyond blessing. So therefore, what is the idea of blessing Hashem? If Hashem is way beyond all blessings, how do we bless Hashem? Ideas like it says in the Zohar, the Kuchabrihu Sosim Vegalia. Right, the Zohar says that Hashem is hidden and revealed. Right, the Zohar says that Hashem is considered both hidden and revealed. Why? What's the pshat? Ki atzmus ein soif bolchu, the essence of Hashem, blessed be He, Sosim Vikol Stim. That's hidden beyond all its hiddenness. That's hidden of the hidden of the hidden of the hidden. And that's so the essence of Hashem is totally hidden. No one has any type of grasp. Even the angels, even the highest angels, have no grasp in the essence of Hashem. That's way, way, way beyond any type of creation, any created being. So that's hidden beyond all hiddenness. And that essence of Hashem, which is the hidden aspect of Hashem, cannot be given any name at all. You can't give it a name. It's so high, you can't attach a name to it. It's just beyond all grasp. So you can't. If you give something a name, it means you see it. You know, I'm going to give that this name. I'm going to call this a table. I'm going to call this a chair. So you see a chair and you call it a name. I'll call this item a chair. But you only call a name to something that you can conceive, you can grasp. Hashem is beyond all grasp, beyond all conception. Therefore, you can't give him a name. There is no name to the essence of Hashem. Afilu b'shem Havaya Baruchu, even the highest name, the name Havaya, that's the name Yudke Vovke, the actual name of Hashem, Yudke Vovke, is also not on the essence of Hashem. And even the tip, the point of the yud, the smallest spitz, the little needle pinprick of the top of the yud of the yud kevavke, even that you can't attach to the essence of Hashem, because that's beyond all grasp. That's something that's hidden beyond all hiddenness. Even that which the Zohar calls Hashem Ein Sof, Hashem is endless. And Enukina Alavis Boshmo is not a name for his essence. It's not a name for the essence of Hashem. Because the essence of Hashem, as we said, can't be receive any name. So when we say it's Ein Sof, we're not talking about the essence of Hashem. The intention is in terms of our ability to grasp the energies that he pours down on us. Hashem, so to speak, pours down energy on us. He sustains us. He keeps us alive. And he sends down different forces, right? Like the sun that reaches us, like the food that grows from the ground, right? Like the energy we have to live and to breathe and the air we have. So all of these, all of the forces that bestow us with life, that enrich us, that we receive from upper worlds. So that's what we call endless. Because that's referring to that part of Hashem which is attached to the world. And as we said before, that Hashem is partially hidden and partially revealed. So hidden is the essence of Hashem, which is totally hidden. What's revealed is His influence on the world, the fact that He affects our lives, the fact that He gives us life, the fact that we're healthy, the fact that we have food to eat, etc. That's the part of Him that's revealed. And that is what we're able to grasp partially. We can grasp Hashem in terms of His influence on us. We grasp Him partially because we see He sustains us. We see that He gives us food. So we grasp Him partially. But that grasp itself is what we mean when we say that that's endless. It's this our ability to understand Hashem, right? Is that we're saying that our grasp is limited because what there is to grasp of Hashem is endless. For us, it's endless. We can't grasp all that Hashem gives us. It's endless. Now, when we say He's endless, we don't say ever end ratios. We don't say it's there's no beginning and no end. We just say there's no end. Right? What's the pshat? We're not saying there's no beginning. We're saying there's no end. Because really, if we were speaking about the essence of Hashem, the essence of Hashem has neither beginning nor end. Hashem has no beginning to Hashem. He's beyond all time, and therefore there's no beginning to Hashem, and there's no end to Hashem. So when we say that Hashem is endless, we mean in terms of our grasp. Because whatever we grasp of Hashem is only the beginning of grasping Hashem. As much as we understand Hashem, we're still on the ground floor. As much as we feel that we really understand Hashem, we know Hashem, we've only just begun. Because Hashem is so vast, as much as you understand Hashem, it's like nothing. It's like one drop of water in an ocean. Imagine one drop, one tiny drop of water in the entire ocean. Comparison is that, right? So the same thing, our grasp of Hashem is like always at the beginning. As much as we feel we understand, even those who are big, big experts, those who've learned all the Svarim, their grasp of Hashem is like one drop in the ocean. And therefore we say Hashem is endless, and whereas we're right only at the beginning. So that's what we mean by endless. Endless, we mean that our grasp is limited because in terms of what there is to grasp of Hashem, that is endless. Alokolas, like I say, Nurak Reishis, whatever we will grasp is only the beginning. Al Ein Soif, there is no end. Lagia b'hasoga l'asig es koichos of His Baruch Shmoy. There's no end to reach with our grasp the end of His powers. Blessed be His name, Hanishpoim, which are poured down on us. Okay, so that was just a note just to explain that the concept of Ein Soif, when we speak of Hashem as being endless, we're not talking about the essence of Hashem. But the essence of Hashem can have no name at all. So therefore, where do we attach a name? So we already started saying the answer. In terms of what we can grasp, we put names. Now, what's the idea of names? Let's see now. That which we do grasp partially, and we label and describe with a number of titles, a number of descriptions, with different names or different nicknames or different attributes. We speak about Hashem being Chesed and Hashem being Vura, Hashem being all kind, Hashem being all powerful. So these are all types of names we attach to Hashem, all sorts of descriptions. Or we label His different attributes, as we find in the Torah, B'chol Matbeah Atfila, as we find through the Torah, through all of the davening, we see that we give different names to Hashem, different descriptions of Hashem. All of it's in terms of His attachment to the world. In other words, it's in terms of His influence on us. We feel Him in our lives, or we see Him in our lives, and that which we see, we label. So we see His kindness, so we call Him the kind one. We see His justice, so we call Him the just one. We call Him the judge, the true judge. Okay, and that's what we mean that we give names. We give names to those aspects that we grasp. We see the different the worlds that are sustained by Him, the different forces that He releases on the world. all the different forces that he sends down to uphold the world and to give life to the world and to direct the world. Like the worlds, all the different worlds, the upper worlds, the lower worlds, all the worlds are kept alive by Hashem, and they're directed by Hashem, they're run by Hashem, they're controlled by Hashem, Kirtzoin, and like it is his desire, Kirtzoin is Boshmoy. And that's those different forces what we give names to. And this is what the Bali Kabbalah call, this is what the Kabbalistic masters call the Shtalshulus. It means the order of the spheres. You know, there's like a chain, there's a chain of different levels of revelation. So that's called, there's a chain of revelations from high worlds to low worlds to still lower worlds. That's what we call about Hishtalshus. It starts from the highest point and comes down like a chain effect, where one link empowers the next link, which empowers the next link, like we spoke about previously in the first Shah. So therefore, there's links of influence that come down from upper worlds, and it's that is what we label. Lefi kol shinui prati sidra and hoga shemishtal shel nimshach lezeh ulam, and according to all the different changes, all the different influences, the individualistic influences which come down in the way Hashem conducts the world, the different types of conduct which are drawn down from upper worlds. Im ladin, whether it's in terms of executing justice, im lechesed, or whether it's in terms of enriching us with kindness, im lerachamim, if it's for mercy, al dekriches elyonim izmazgusom, through upper forces and the mix of the different upper forces, right? Because you have different influences that combine together. So you can have sort of chesed combining with rachamim. Or you can have rachamim combining with din. You have these different influences that which come together and which mix together. So therefore, according to the different influences, mishtanim Hashem, as the names change, vakinuim v'atarim, and all the different titles, all the different nicknames, all the different descriptions, shelakol inyan prati misidra and hoga, each individual influence from that comes down through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control of the worlds, through his whole order of running the world. Miuchad lo kinui v'shem prati. Each one has its special title and its special name. Shekein moim perusham shel kol atarim shem mitzad ha'koyches habruim. All of these names are in terms of what we receive, in terms of us. We look at it from our point of view and we give a description to what we receive. So we're receiving kindness, or we're receiving justice, etc. We title it according to what we're receiving. Morachum v'chanun, that he's compassionate on us, or he's merciful on us, or he's gracious to us, perushim rachmonus v'chanin ala bruin, which is, in other words, that which we're receiving is that which we title. So then we the names that we give to Hashem are just things that we perceive, that we grasp, that come to us from Hashem. V'afil Hashem ha'etzim, and even the essential name of Hashem, and as the name that we know to be the highest name possible, ha'etzim ha'miuchah, the special name Havai, yudkei vovkei, That we know is the highest of all names, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei Baruch Hu. La Latzmusu is Baruch.
Yet Yud Vav Kei.
But it's like a nickname. We say Havaya, because we don't want to say the way it's written. So we call it Havaya, the name Havaya. But we're referring to that name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So even the essential, special name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, the Havaya name Baruch Hu. It's not on the essence of Hashem that we put that name. That name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the highest possible name that we have, is not going on Hashem himself. Rather, it's going on Hashem's attachment to the worlds. And that's because, again, it's in terms of the influence. So therefore, we give that name in terms of Hashem's connection to our world, not to Hashem himself, but in terms of the connection that Hashem has with our world, in terms of sustaining our world. That's what we give the name to, not Hashem himself, just to the connection of Hashem to the world. That's what we title. Kepei Rusha, like the meaning of the name. What is that name, Yud Kei Vav Kei? What does it mean? It means Haya, Hoive V'yeh, that he was, and he is, and he will be. Right? In other words, which means Mahaveh Hakol, he brings into existence all. Like all that was is from him. All that is from him, and all that will be is from him. And that's he's the one who's Mahave. He's the one who brings into existence. That is the name Yud-Kevavki. He's the one who brings all into existence. All exists because of him. All the worlds, all the angels, all exist because of him. He's the one who brings them to existence. That's the name Yud-Kevavki. And that's Rotzolem, which is to say, Hu Yisbarach Mischabe Bertzoyne Lulomis. That he, Hashem, is attached. His desire is attached to the worlds. Lehavam Ulekaimam. To bring them into existence and to sustain them and to that they should continue to live, call rega every moment. But Hashem brings our world into existence every single moment. He has to be generating energy into the world that the world should exist. The world needs continuous source of energy to exist, and Hashem is the generator of that energy. So He's bringing them into existence every single second of the world. Right, and that's the idea of Yud-Kei Vov-Kei, and that again is not Hashem himself, but it's the connection that we're entitling Yud-Kei Vov-Kei. V'zeh she'amru Razal, and that's what our sages have said, v'lashonim HaKodesh, in their holy expression. V'zeh she'amru HaRizal, v'lashonim HaKodesh. This is what the HaRizal, the holy Ari, says in his very special, with his very special holy expression. Huva Bakdomas creates Chaim, which is brought in the introduction to his great work, creates Chaim. Shekola Kinuim Vashemus, that all of the titles and all of the names, Hem Shmois Hatzmus Hamispashtim Besfius, they are in the names of the essence which spreads into through the spheres. The spheres, as we said before, the spheres of the different levels are like masks, filters. Hashem's light is too strong for us. Hashem has spheres. The spheres are masks. They like gates, and they filter down the light. Now they hold back the light that's too strong for us, and they only let through a little bit of light that we can absorb. Those are called spheres. Right? Those are the spheres are all types of masks. Hashem Himself is hidden, and there are all sorts of masks through which some of His light comes through, which sustains us. So that force, which lights up the masks, that's Hashem. Now it's Hashem's essence. He sets up the masks, which are all the different levels of His that allow His light through, and then He generates the light that will go through those masks. So that generation of the light, that is His essence, which is influencing. From His essence is coming an influence which is keeping us alive. And it's that influence that we're titling the name Yud-Kei Vov-Kei, and not Hashem Himself. Because as we said, the name of Hashem Himself is beyond all grasp. So when we say we're going to bless Hashem, we do not mean the essence of Hashem. Chapter 3. Vu Mamram Zal B'Shmeis Rabbah. And this is what the rabbis have taught us in the Midrash Rabbah, in the Midrash, in Parsha Shmeis. Elokei Avusechem Shalchani Yishlachani Aleichem. Moshe spoke to Hashem at the burning bush, and Hashem wanted to send him to Mitzrayim to save the Jewish people. So Moshe said, when I get to the Jewish people, I'm going to have to go and speak to the Jewish people. When I get there, I'm going to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. The God of your fathers, and Hashem, who is the God of your fathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, He sent me to you to save you from Pharaoh, to take you out of Egypt. So when I say that to them, this is what Moshe is saying to Hashem. This is in the Psukim. Moshe says to Hashem, when I tell them that Hashem has sent me to you, they're going to say to me, what's His name? They're going to say, what's His name? What's the name of this God? So what should I tell them? So he's asked Hashem, when they ask me, what's your name, what should I tell them? That's what Moshe asked Hashem. So therefore, Oysa Shah, says the Midrash, Oysa Shah is Vare Moshe al Asoka. That moment, Moshe wanted to exactly define his mission. He's going to go and speak to the Jewish people. He's going to come to influence the Jewish people. They're going to be asking him questions. He has to have answers. You know, you don't come to them with all this news, and you just expect them to accept whatever he's going to say to them. So therefore, when I arrive at the Jewish people, they're going to ask me questions. They're going to ask me, who's Hashem? Right? What's the name of this God who spoke to you? What must I tell them? This is what Moshe said to Hashem. At that moment, Moshe wanted to know, wanted Hashem to reveal to him His great name. His great name. So what did Hashem tell him? What does the Pasuk say there? Amla Kodesh Bochu le Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Shmi atam avakesh leida. You want to know my name? Lifi maisa ani mikra. I'm called according to my actions. My name is what I do. What I do is my name. Pami ani nikra bekel shakai. Sometimes I'm called kel shakai. Sometimes I'm called tzvokris. And sometimes I'm called Elohim. And sometimes called Havaya. And it depends on what I'm doing. Kshani danes habriyos. When I'm judging my creatures, when I'm judging this world, ani nikra Elohim, then I'm called Elohim, because that's I'm the judge, so then I'm called the judge. When I'm judging them, I'm called the judge. Elohim means the judge. So I'm called the judge. Kshani oisim yilchoma b'rishon. When I'm fighting the wicked, when I'm protecting the Jewish people and fighting the wicked, ani nikra tzvokris. Then I get the name tzvokris. I'm the Lord of hosts. Fighting the enemy. So then I'm called Tzvokos. Kushani toilecha tov shel adam. And when I suspend the sins of a person, that even though a person sinned and he needs to be punished, I suspend his sins so that he can continue to live. I so to speak, put his sins on hold, that he shouldn't be punished. So when I suspend the sins of a person, then I'm called ani nikra kel shakai. Then I have the name kel shakai. Kushani merachim alo ilomi. And when I have mercy on my world, even though they've sinned and they're guilty and they deserve punishment, and yet I have mercy on them, Shani Merachim Alo Ilomi, I show them mercy, Anikra Havaya, then I'm called the name Yudke Vovke, which is the name of mercy, of compassion. Therefore, what's my name? My name is what I do. What I do is my name. And I have different names for different things that I do. V'zeo, and that's exactly what Hashem said to him, Eke Asher Eke. And Eke also is a holy name. I will be. But the literal translation of that passage is, I will be who I will be. Right? I am what I do. You will know me by what I do. You will know me through seeing me, through experiencing me in your lives. I'm called according to my actions. And this is an important principle. Now, this is also explains the fact that Hashem has many names, because he has many functions. He does many different types of things. And also for us, in our own personal lives, the fact that we get to know Hashem is also through our reaction, the way Hashem reacts to us. We do certain things. Sometimes we do good things and we receive certain responses. The response is not always what we want. Sometimes we're expecting a pat on the back and we get a rebuke. Sometimes we're in trouble and all of a sudden Hashem helps us. And sometimes amazing help comes to us. We have amazing siyata dishmaya. And that's also a type of influence, type of response. Hashem responds to us in different life situations in different ways. And that is how we get to know Hashem. That's how we get to know Hashem. The way He acts towards us, the way He relates to us, the way He works with us. And this is the idea behind the fact that Hashem has many, many different names, because He interacts with us in many different ways. And that's the idea of name. And that fits in what we said before in the last chapter, that names are only given to actions that Hashem does. The way He connects with the world, the way He influences the world, on those different influences where we attach a name. But the actual essence of Hashem has no name. When we speak about names, we speak about the way He interacts and works with us. And those are the names. And now we're starting getting onto the revealed part of Hashem. The revealed part of Hashem is the part we know through the way He interacts with us.